America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, right off the bat, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. Bruce Thatcher joins us this morning right off the bat. Founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing elemental truths learned from accomplishments and failures of those in our past to help us avoid making the same mistakes again and again. Makes sense, doesn't it? Also author of that project's first three books, Adamant Aggressors, How to Recognize and Deal with Them, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, and his latest book, The Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. Bruce, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just great. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I'm glad you're here to bring us up to date on the immigration situation. I mean, it's to the point where even the Republicans, are a bit, I guess perplexed and between some dynamic tension. Should we deal with it before the 2018? Is this going to help us or hurt us? And of course, Paul Ryan has already said, hey, there's no way that he's going to promote anything in addressing DACA or immigration. What say you?
Well, the Republicans in the House may succeed in getting a discharge petition through and getting a vote on immigration, but of course it'll go nowhere, even if it goes to the Senate, because we're in an election year, and that's kind of what history shows in this country, is you don't deal with difficult, really difficult issues during election years. I was kind of looking at all of this stuff that's been going on, and particularly in the last couple of weeks, and I've sort of reached the conclusion that much of what we're watching is how Trump plays essentially a weak hand as he tries to make the deal he wants on immigration. He doesn't have effective control of Congress, as we've talked about before, and so he plays the cards he has, and a lot of those seem to focus around enforce the law, because people don't like that. At least some people in Congress don't like that, and elsewhere. And so we see news exaggerations like 1,500 children are reported to be lost, which is not true. And we see op-eds. There was one in the Washington Post about how his immigration policies are impossibly cruel on purpose, which probably is true to a large extent. And everybody is reporting all the bad things they can think of about what's going on with immigration. And I sometimes think, that's probably what Trump wants, because he's got to get the people up in arms about immigration in this election year, or he's just not going to get his program at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting, with some of the polling, and not that polls are everything. This is what frustrates me. In the previous administration, it seemed like we were being led based on the polls, not by any particular vision that was right for the country. And Trump, and to your point, what he's putting out there, and he seems to get people rallying behind, is that we return to the rule of law, that, people not be here, that we can't talk about immigrants being here illegally. I mean, we've had this discussion time and time again, but it's like we talk about it, but, do people really care?
We just talk and talk and talk. And when you ask the question, do people really care? And I say, yeah, a lot of people do care, but the people who count in terms of being able to do something about it don't care about the situation as much as they care about the politics of the situation. And their vision has to do with re-election and power. And the really substantive matters of the country really take back seat to all of that kind of thing. I sometimes wonder whether something has significantly and permanently changed in this country, because I don't know whether it was quite always fight like this, although when you go through history, even way back into the 1800s, you see a lot of the same kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, but it seems at this point that, and again, I think that's where leadership comes in, because leadership gives you a vision, and takes you from where you are. The polls tell you where we are right now, and leadership can move the needle here one way or another, to move in an area. I think when you have people agreeing that, we should do something about immigration, that having people here illegally is not a good thing, I've maintained it's not a good thing for the illegals, because they operate in the shadows. And of course you got all kinds of things. This MS-13, they've been in the crosshairs now with what's happening. We have groups fighting against the illegals who are coming in here who have been committing crimes. And, of course, then we got the sanctuary, you know, cities and states, you know, California, all the craziness and tension that's happening there within their state. So what is going to happen? We're just going to continue to kick this football down the road until we get tired of, you know, illegals committing unconscionable crimes, or, you know, because I don't know that there's this sense of urgency in Congress to really deal with this, or if it's just one of those nagging things that just keeps bugging you to finally where Congress says, okay, I surrender, we're going to do something about it.
Well, I think that's mostly where we are right now. I don't think there is that sense of urgency in Congress to do about it. And you speak of leadership, what we need is, it's a national problem. Mm-hmm. We need national leaders, mm-hmm. a national leader who has the will and the wherewithal to do something about it. And I think that Trump has shown us that he is that national leader on this issue at this moment,
right.
And he has the will. I don't think he has the wherewithal, and he's not getting a lot of support. He's getting a lot of opposition. But what he is doing is he's raising the volume. He's raising the awareness. He's raising people's concern about it, and there is a chance that will result in getting some action on the thing, but not before the election, midterm election.
Well, no, I think that's out of the question. It's not going to happen. But you know, when you look at what Trump has done by way, you know, to your point of leadership, I mean, he's the one that brought DACA back into play, and he put it right at the doorstep of Congress, saying, "Here, fix this." Because the previous president did something illegally. You all knew that. You didn't say, you didn't complain much. And now we need to get this squared away. Now, I would think, just saying, that I would think that anybody under DACA would be rejoicing, because now it's like, look at your temporary card now becomes permanent. This thing's going to be issued. There's, you know, the government is not going to reject, you know, what started out as 700,000 are now 1.8, 1.6 million people. They're not going to toss these young people out. I hesitate to say kids, because it's so quick to say kids, and that's kind of a misnomer and gives us a false premise here and creates problems for other arguments. But anyway, we're going to pick it up from there when we come back. We're with Bruce Thatcher. We're talking immigration right here on Bill Martinez Live. Bruce Thatcher continues with us, historian and founder of History Speaks. Bruce, a little bit of your background. I want to give you a chance to kind of bring people up to date for those that have not heard you on with us before, because we're getting a lot of new listeners here, and I want them to understand, you know, how honored we are to have you on the show. You know, your efforts in terms of, which is my heart as well, is that, you know, we need an ongoing study of history, and you promote that under the understanding that we all talk about. You know, we need to study history so we don't repeat the mistakes of the past, but so often, just being human that we are, it's almost like we have to fall off the roof again to realize that gravity is still in play, right?
Every generation seems to have to learn all the basic lessons all over again. I spent a career in business, Bill, and during that time, of course, I had lots of opportunities to see instances, not only in business, but in government and in my life, where people just seem to be making the same mistakes over and over again, probably me too, in many respects.
Right.
And so when I retired, I decided to think, to see if I could change that. I started asking, why is that? Why don't people learn from history?
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion that they don't, in part because they're not taught lessons in history. They're just taught events in history. They don't get the so what of history. And I decided to see if I could do something about that. So I founded History Speaks Today, and I wrote these three books that have to do with specific lessons of history that are applicable today. And I keep hoping that will result in some people at least learning from history and not having to go through the pain again.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, things that we would hope to have learned in school, you know, I think we expect so much from school anymore these days. Just like our information age that we live in, there's so much information coming at us. You mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a filtering process. And some of that we have to do in order to survive, because we'd just be overwhelmed by so much. But we need to check on that filtering system that is between us. And what I have determined in my life, that I need a filter of truth. I've got to get through some of this stuff to understand, okay, where is the truth? And not sitting there, you know, like Pontius Pilate and saying, what is the truth? To accept that somehow it's so, it's so fluid or so disparate that we can't discern the truth. You know, it's our responsibility to know what the truth is and to pursue it and keep asking questions. This is what grieves me, I guess, in part for today's scientists, because I think they've lost a little bit of that because of the political process. It's like if you allow the political process to invade your discipline, somehow you become ideologically focused and you abandon what are the core values of science. And to me, what I appreciated about science as a little kid was that they were asking the same thing that I was asking, even as a little kid, you know, why? Why?
And underlying an awful lot of that erosion, I think, is money. And money and power are the right. are the things that seem to drive so many people now. The filters that many, many, many people and organizations use are the filters of ideology. So they've established an ideology, and therefore their truth is whatever conforms to their ideology, and anything that doesn't conform is by definition untrue.
Right.
And we do see that in things, scientific arguments that are raging on the day. I hesitate to even mention climate change, but here's a case where ideology has just grabbed hold of so many people, scientists as well as the non-scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've empowered with their ideology such a way that they might as well say to everybody, thou shalt be stupid. If you are no longer stupid, we're going to take away all your money. And in fact, what we've done is we found a way, which really galls me, Bruce, is they found a way to get their tentacles into the people's treasury and use, they don't even use their own money.
No.
They know how to use, they know how to use the people's money against us, and they will ruin your career. They'll do everything. I mean, and you say climate change because it's a classic example. It's a modern day example of what's been happening, you know, from day one in this country. Is, you know, that's why they say follow the money. You know, that is still, the great lead, isn't it?
And combined with all of that, or betting all of that, is the incredibly shortened attention span of much of the populace, and that's related to the internet in modern technology. You can't, people won't read a book anymore. They'll read snippets. They'll listen to sound bites, but I have some of my grandchildren, great grandchildren. Won't read a book, but they certainly are savvy on the internet.
Oh, without, you know, and the video games and everything. I mean, the amount of time they spend in video games, it's amazing. But of course, when we were growing up, you know, the guilty pleasure was the boob tube, And, you know, we love distraction. It's part of our humanity, and it requires some discipline. And, you know, where are we? Are we at a point, I think we're ready for some sort of revolution that says, look, I'm tired of being stupid. And I'm going to really, you know, go and do the extra effort. You know, the Gen Zers, this next generation that's coming up, you know, they're seeing for themselves the mistakes, but the challenge that they have, especially on the college campuses of today, is they're being indoctrinated. They're not being instructed because, as you say, you know, politics has invaded every institution in this land.
I saw some statistics on there was something that came around on the number of commencement speakers that were liberal progressives versus conservatives, and it was like 98-2 or something
Right. Right.
And I hear that from my grandchildren, some of them going to school, and I hear what they go through there, and it supports the contention that our institutions and our schools are not teaching the values that the country was founded on. Freedom of speech is very much a politically variable thing. These days, among the young, not just the younger generation, but on school campuses in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, getting back to the issue of immigration, we know the Congress is going to do everything they can to avoid talking about it before the midterms. That's a big risk for some of the aspiring congressmen or people defending their seats who are vulnerable, even if they somehow can, you know, bring it to the brink. I don't think, and I say to the brink, bring it to the edge to where there is some focus. They might be able to get some benefit even from that, but by and large, it's too risky. You know, we've been told, and this is, again, part of that filtering process that is required here these days. We've been told by the mainstream media that there is a blue wave coming, but it's... You know, it looks more like a trickle than a wave here.
Well, maybe it'll be blue and maybe it won't. And whether it is or not will have a big effect on immigration policy, I think.
Well, we can see if, you know, they have enough intestinal fortitude. I don't know how they can avoid it any longer. I mean, there's just been so much focus on this, Bruce. They might be able to get by the 2018, but I don't know how they can get by 2020. Do you?
Well, you would think not, and if in particular a lot of people are elected who want to do something, it will make a difference.
Exactly. Bruce Thatcher on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bruce.